I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Matt Townsend Show. Today we're talking about your teenager's brain. I can see clearly now. I don't know how that song and that topic go together, but somehow it all works. Today we're going to show you how to see clearly and how to see, actually probably more clearly, the power that's going on inside of your little teenager's brain. It's churning like a nuclear power plant. That sounds totally wrong. It's just churning. Tons of power, tons of purpose, and yet we seem to sometimes get so little out of them. Our expert is on the phone here to teach us about the teenager brain and we're going to get into the age span of this brain, ages 12 to 24. Our guest is Dr. Daniel J. Siegel, and Daniel received his medical degree from Harvard University, completed his postgraduate medical education at UCLA with a training in pediatrics and child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. He currently is a clinical professor of psychiatry at the UCLA School of Medicine and is on faculty of the Center for Culture, Brain, and Development. He really is a world-class leader in the field of the brain and psychiatry of the brain. So here's what we want to talk to him about. Dr. Siegel, welcome to the Matt Townsend Show.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And this book, Brainstorm, is the book we're talking about. You've produced quite a handful of books, and some of them they're really the manual on a lot of our understanding around the brain. Just talk to us a little bit about, you know, how come you got into this field? How did you choose, of all things, to study the teenager brain?
Well, I have two adolescents in my family. And as they were ending their teenage years, I felt like I had emotional whiplash, you know. I was wondering, what just happened?
Yeah.
So my wife and I would talk about it with friends and really try to figure out what had just gone on in our lives. And so I started looking at the science of adolescence, and I was kind of shocked to find that what science is now telling us, it's a new story about what the adolescent period is all about,
yeah,
was very different from what we were told from our pediatricians, our friends, our teachers, even the media. The message out there is actually not the same as the message of what we now believe from science. So
really?
I started diving, yeah, there's a bunch of myths that we can talk about, and when you undo the myths and see what the truths are, it actually empowers you as a parent.
You bet.
To see more clearly, like the song was saying.
Why do we, I mean, it seems like we just automatically just throw it. We always think it's just hormones, I guess, that they're just going through those changes. But why would we not be more educated on it? Is there a reason why we still would live up to all the myths instead of getting more information out there?
Well, you know, when there's a story that's out there like raging hormones,
yeah,
not just in the United States, but I've been teaching all around the world, and you say, okay, what's the story of adolescence? And whatever the language, people go, raging hormones.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it?
And hormones rise, but, you know, the idea that there's a hormone, which is a molecule running around your bloodstream, that's having anger management problems,
mm-hmm,
so it's in a rage all the time, it's just wrong.
Yeah, right.
And not only is it wrong, there's nothing you can do about it, whether you're the adolescent or you're the adult trying to support them.
Let's start blowing up some of these myths. What are some of the myths, and what do we need to know as a parent?
Well, the first one is the raging hormone story.
Okay.
Instead of raging hormones, it's actually a remodeling brain. And we can get into the details, but it's basically the brain is restructuring itself as you go from childhood dependency to adult responsibility. You're going to have to remodel that brain in certain ways. The second thing is people say, oh, adolescence is just a period of immaturity and one you should just get through really fast.
Right. Hurry
well,
through it.
Turns out that's not true either. It's not a period of immaturity. It's a period of necessary change. And as a colleague of mine, Larry Steinberg, just showed in a New York Times piece, the longer you can prolong adolescence, the probably better it is for your adulthood. So that's a totally
really
different attitude. Yeah. And we'll talk about why that would be the case. But the new research is really giving us a different way of thinking about this idea. It's not a period of immaturity. It's not something you just get through. A third myth is, well, you know, adolescence is a period where either they're taking these risks because they just don't think straight, or they have so much impulse control problems, mm-hmm. or maybe they think nothing bad is going to happen to them. Well, it turns out each of those is pretty much wrong. Impulsivity, it's a problem in the beginning of the teenage years, but the actual risk, which is there, stays beyond impulsivity. And so what's going on? Is it that they're not informed? No, actually, adolescents are informed. Do they think nothing bad can happen to them? When you study that experience where people feel, hey, I'm immune to anything bad happening to me, it's equal in adults as adolescents. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so yeah, we think they're just impetuous and they're just going to, they're out of control and they're not thinking. But really, you're blowing up every myth. They're fairly well in tune. They're probably a lot more controlled in their thinking than we might think.
Exactly.
They're not out of control. They're just in rerouting their brain.
They're remodeling their brain, so they're rerouting all sorts of circuits. Now, the thing about this danger thing, let's just say it as it is, the adolescent body is stronger in terms of if you get an infection or an injury than at any other time. It's a great time of life to be medically doing well. But here's the thing. Adolescents as a whole, overall group are three times more likely to have a serious injury or even die from preventable causes because of their risk-taking behavior.
So okay.
If you're an adult listening to this, you know, you got to realize your intuition, wow, this is a risky time, is true.
Yeah.
And when I speak to adolescents directly, and the Brainstorm book is written for them as well as for adults to read, you know, I say to them, look, this is just real. So what is the risk about? When you look at the brain, and we could get into as much detail, Matt, as you want, but basically there are two areas of the brain that change by necessity. One is called the reward circuit, and as this reward circuit changes, it changes in ways that drives an adolescent to try new things. And the reason for that is to get out of the nest and get out into the world.
Yeah.
But part of something new, which gets this chemical called dopamine to be released, which is lower in its baseline and higher in its release level, this reward system that's driven by dopamine, basically all that means is that these dopamine changes in the reward system are driving this novelty seeking.
Okay.
And there's nothing like risky behavior
to pump that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they really are, they're just chasing the drug. They're chasing the dopamine.
They're chasing the dopamine. And the other thing that happens is something called hyper-rational thinking, where the higher part of the brain, the cortex, is working with the middle part of the brain, this limbic area, and it's evaluating things in different ways. So adolescents know that there's danger, but they just don't care.
Hmm.
So informing them more doesn't actually help. There's a pathway I talk about in the book called an internal compass, where you would give them a feeling, literally in their gut and their heart, where they would say, you know something, my friends are expecting me to do this, or this could be really cool and exciting, and I'd show how great I am. But you know something, this just doesn't feel right.
Interesting.
And I'm choosing not to drive 100 miles an hour. So there's ways around each of these, debunking the myths and seeing the truth. So even when you see it's hyper-rational thinking and this reward system change, you can do something about it. That's the great news about debunking these myths. Instead of just feeling disempowered, either as an adult or an adolescent, now we have specific things you can do with the new truths that are unveiled.
Because otherwise we look at our kids, you know, like they're a tornado.
Totally.
That just drops in and it'll pass.
Tell me about it. I mean, that's another thing, too. And that's a third thing, or maybe a fourth myth. You know, people say, and this really gets me upset when people say, oh, adolescents are crazy, you know?
Yeah, they're crazy.
Statement. They're not crazy. I mean, certainly insanity is something that can happen because psychiatric disorders can emerge in a very low percentage of adolescents. But the emotionality is true. Adolescents have remodeling of their brain in such a way that their emotions are more intense. And when they get intense, if we fight them with it, like let's say your adolescent, a 14-year-old, she's cranky when she comes home. And you go, listen, young lady, don't talk to me about that. And then you engage her in her, for us to understand she's emotional. If you fight her for the feeling she has and don't let her have whatever feelings are there and then come back in about 90 seconds when that emotion is risen and drifted off like a wave on the beach.
Yeah.
If you fight her with it, it'll get more intense. So what's been amazing about the Brainstorm book is because adolescents are reading it and adults are reading it, it's written for both, they're getting a new understanding of what's happening in the brain.
Yeah.
And then once you understand the brain, unlike the story of raging hormones or just impulsivity,
right,
this new story helps us say, how do you empower yourself as a parent to support your adolescent in the most effective way? And if you're an adolescent hearing this or reading the book, what can you actually do? Because here's the bottom line that's amazing.
Yeah.
You can use your mind to strengthen your brain.
There you go.
And that's the answer.
So you can actually, and we'll talk about this after the break, Dr. Dan. This is a map. The book Brainstorm, then, is really a map for us as parents and our children to start to understand, blow up some of these myths, but then engage your mind to actually, I guess, get better control of our mind. And I'm going to bet in the end, grow a healthier brain and even a healthier relationship as we're working with our children. Wonderful stuff. More with Dr. Dan Siegel when we come back. Again, go to his website, drdansiegel.com. This is the Matt Townsend Show. We're talking about your brain today and your teenager's brain right here on SiriusXM 143 BYU Radio. Because you had a bad day, you take one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. Welcome back, friends, to the Matt Townsend Show. So you've had a bad day. Hey, maybe you're a teenager. But it's because your brain is in a storm. And we've got the author that's going to help us understand our teenagers. The adolescence is the term we're using. And we're going to ask him if we've got this right. His name is Dr. Dan Siegel. He's the author of the book Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain, an inside-out guide to the emerging adolescent mind, ages 12 to 24. Again, go to his website, Dr. Dan Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. You can get all the information about him, blogs, everything he's got there. But Dr. Dan, help us. So we're calling you. I always use the word teenager, but you keep using the word adolescent.
Yes.
What's the difference?
Well, Matt, you know, it's a great question because we used to think that the teenage years and the adolescent period were the same. But it turns out that this adolescent period of brain remodeling.
Yeah.
Happens often before the teenage years begin.
Okay.
And it continues deep into the 20s, so the mid-20s. So, you know, I just say 24, but it could be 25, 26. So it's basically the second dozen years of life. It doesn't end when your teenage years end.
Okay. Because it almost seems like we're expecting some problems between, like, I guess, you know, 12 to 18. But it doesn't end at 18. This brain's still under remodel.
That's right.
Till 24, 25, 26.
That's exactly right. The remodeling includes cutting down some of the existing connections in the basic parts of the brain. These neurons are connected to each other with what are called synapses.
Mm-hmm.
So the pruning is just like you have a garden. And in the garden, when the tree grows, to keep the rose bushes below it growing, you got to prune away some of the leaves, the branches, some even the limbs. And that's a natural part of keeping your garden healthy. Well, pruning, it turns out, was an unpredicted part of the adolescent change, but unlike a child who's mostly just growing new connections, the first thrust of remodeling when adolescence begins is start pruning away all those connections you set up in the first dozen years of life.
But those are the ones that made the child independent or dependent, highly in need of an adult, always looking, I guess, to others. Is that what was going on? And now we're trying to prune those away?
No. Well, that's what's going on for sure in childhood. You're absolutely right the way you say it. But it isn't that you're pruning all that independence away.
Okay.
It's more like this. It's more like you're in the first years of life, the first 2-3 years of life, you're definitely using your dependency on adults to develop what's called self-regulation, controlling your attention, your emotions, your behavior. Then you sort of develop those more 3, 4, 5, 6. Then when you get to school, you know, to primary school, elementary school, you're basically soaking in knowledge and skills and developing that through new connections and laying down something called myelin, which allows the neurons that are connected to be really strong with each other. And that's all great. And if you think about childhood as being a generalist, where basically people expect you to learn your math, learn your science, learn your English, learn your history, learn your exercise, learn your way of interacting with kids and sharing toys. You know, you do everything.
Yeah.
That's great. So the brain's got to just soak in everything like a sponge, and that's beautiful. But then in adolescence, you're going to develop specialization. You're going to start preferring one thing over the other. So by the time you're done with adolescence in your mid-20s, you kind of find what's going to be your particular area in life. You're not a generalist anymore. No one expects you to be interested in everything or good at everything.
Yeah, and excited about everything. Yeah.
No, you say, no, I like music, not dance. Yeah. I really love doing mathematical things. No, I love being with people. Everyone's got their own thing, and that's great. But a younger kid, you want them to be a generalist.
Sure.
So the rule for adolescent pruning is use it or lose it. You're going to keep those circuits you activate. So my daughter, you know, loved art, and she's a great artist. She did it all through adolescence. She's now still an adolescent, but she's in her 20s. My son, who's in his mid-20s now, he did music. And my gosh, you should see the circuits he's maintained with his musical ability. But he didn't play soccer, you know, and our daughter played volleyball, and she's an amazing volleyball player, but our son didn't.
Right.
So he put them on the court. They're like different people. So it's a use it or lose it principle, and you're not only pruning, that's making the brain have differentiation. That is, specific circuits that are activated get more specialized and grow better and more sophisticated. Then what you do is you lay down this thing called myelin. And myelin is a healthy sheath. It's a sheath that connects interconnected neurons, and it basically makes them work together as a team 3,000 times more effectively.
So these become like, this is what seems to make it more permanent then.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So we're really like, we've tested it out. We see which pathways we're more likely to use and stick to. And then you're saying the myelin gets laid down.
It gets laid down. And
wow.
You know when you watch the Olympics?
Yeah.
And you see some Olympic athletes, and the ones who do well have all done it throughout adolescence.
Yeah.
You say, my God, I couldn't do that.
Right.
You're right, because you didn't lay down myelin. Practice lays down myelin. So when I teach in a middle school or high school, and I teach this directly to the kids because the book is for them as much as it is for adults, I say, hey, here's the deal. You can shape the way your brain is being remodeled. It's going to be pruning itself down. And if you only want the part of your brain that controls your right hand when you play video games 10 hours a day to be the only part of your brain that's developed, I say, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it, man. You know, have at it.
Go for it.
But if you, in fact, want to take responsibility for your brain that you will be living with for many years to come, it's not an adult who's going to tell you what to do. But I'm telling you, you have a choice. You can be involved with school activities. You can meet your friends face-to-face and keep those circuits of relationships really well honed. You can actually do a musical instrument, learn a foreign language, do a sport, be engaged in drama, do all these things that get you away from those computer screens and get you in life. I said, and that's up to you.
Yeah.
I said, but hey, you want to sit in front of the screen? Go for it.
See, we
go, no, I don't want to do that.
Isn't it interesting?
I'm pruning,
Dad. But it's funny because it seems like we just chalk it up to, they're crazy. And the brain's confusing, and they're born with talents, and they're going to be what they're going to be. But those are all myths, too. You're saying, no, you've got to, if we want to grow the brain a different way, we've got to be using the circuit. So if they feel awkward socially, and they always avoid social settings, eventually they're not going to grow the circuitry socially, and the myelin won't be laid down, so there won't be some permanent strength socially.
Right. I mean, you know, eventually, and I talk about this in a book called Mindsight, you can take an adult who didn't have that opportunity in adolescence or childhood, and you can try to grow some of those circuits. So it's not that it's over.
It's not permanent.
But it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you're pruning away stuff, like if you like music or dance or you like a foreign language, do it during adolescence. It's a lot harder.
That's interesting.
You know, do it later. And this is why.
I think it's powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. You know what's so exciting about this book? It basically summarizes all the science, translates it for the adolescent or the adult caring for the adolescent, the parent or the teacher, and says, hey, since this isn't the story of raging hormones or just crazy adolescents who are lazy and, you know, immature, those are all wrong, and those are disempowering.
Yeah.
Here's the truth that, guess what, has action you can do. You are now empowered because you can focus your attention in ways, you can do activities in ways, that develop your brain. It's so exciting.
It gives them something to do. And without, otherwise we just sit here, and I guess that's determinism. You know, our brain made us what we are.
Exactly. And well, you, I don't know if you had the book with you there, Matt, but
yeah,
you see this.
No, I'm just looking at it.
Okay, so the white pages are basically the science and the stories to tell the adolescent and the adult reading it, saying, hey, here's the bottom line about what goes on during this period of development and what you can do. Then there's those gray pages that say, okay, here's the exercise. You want to strengthen your brain? Here are science-based exercises. You don't have to pay a penny more than just whatever it took to get the book or get it out of the library. And you can now do these exercises. And when you do them, the science shows you are actually focusing attention. And here's the secret. Focusing attention streams energy and information through very specific circuits in your brain. And the bottom line is this. When you activate a circuit, you maintain it. That's the use it or lose it principle. So you maintain it, and you're strengthening it.
Excellent.
And you're not only making these new connections, you can even get it to lay down myelin. So you can actually determine which circuits get strong.
That's, to me, there's the hope right there. There's hope in our teenagers that, and two, finally for them to have a say in their life.
Exactly.
I mean, because otherwise they can't necessarily control their acne always. They can't control who likes them. They can't control their odd body, you know, growth and development. But they can control what we do inside our brain.
Totally. And that's the amazing thing. And I got to say, some of the most powerful emails I've ever gotten from readers are from teenage readers who say, you know something, I thought I was losing my mind, and then I read your book, and I realized I'm finding my mind.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, really, right there, because you've written so many like incredible books on the brain, but to know that you've got a teenager that already believes that he's found the path and has some skills to prove it, and even the myelin laying down, how powerful. You're changing the world. That's cool.
Yeah. It's so rewarding. And, you know, by hearing this show, Matt, you're going to reach some adults who get good stuff for the adolescent. So this is what we have to do, is get this information out there. And the amazing thing is, once you get it, you're empowered.
Yeah.
It's not like you have a little gadget you have to put in your pocket.
Right.
It's empowering from the inside out.
Well, and this isn't like a diet where they have to keep buying something from you.
That's right. It's
just it's a protocol. It's a practice. And that's in the book. Well, let's do this, Dan. Let's take a break. And come back. I want you to keep teaching us about, I mean, is there any end to this? And are there certain things we as parents should be doing and get the book, sharing it with our children? Are there other things we should be doing to make sure we're facilitating this? More with Dr. Dan Siegel. Go to his website, drdansiegel.com. Check out this book, Brainstorm. Folks, the hope of a teenager or adolescent's brain, man, our entire world is resting inside of that cranium. Powerful stuff, my friends. We'll be right back. It's the Matt Townsend Show. You're listening to us right here on BYU Radio.
But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Matt Townsend Show. Today, we are talking with Dr. Dan Siegel about our adolescent's brain, ages 12-ish to 24, 5, 6-ish, their brain is under reconstruction. It's being redesigned and rewired and remyelined to create a healthier human being. And Dr. Dan is joining us. Again, Dr. Dan Siegel, go to his website, drdansiegele, drdansiegel.com. The book we're talking about is Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain. Dr. Dan, seriously, I get so excited when I, because I have six kids, right? And I see these problems every day.
Wow.
And I sit there, and to know somebody that has researched it as deeply as you, and the hope you're bringing that we can influence our kids to kind of be empowered in their brain growth is powerful.
Yeah, you know, it's a game changer for parents, because what it does, first of all, for you, is it helps you understand the essence of adolescence.
Yeah.
And then when you allow your adolescent to gain from your new insights, and even in this book's case, they can read it themselves.
Exactly.
And interpret it for their own use. then that's fantastic. The second thing is, and you asked this before the break, well, what can you actually do?
Uh-huh.
And that's the amazing thing, is it isn't just knowledge, and, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
But it's actionable things. It's things you can make practices in your life, even if you're an adult. So in those gray pages where these MindSight practices, what they're called, very simple exercises, anybody can do them. And when you do them, you're actually strengthening your brain.
Oh, wow. It's funny because we sit here on the show a lot and we talk about all the potential threats to our families and our adolescents, but in reality, like the cell phone and all of these potential threats, and yet none of us are paying attention to the brain.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. And like, you know, we're so worried about all these external things, and yet our brain could just be vegging away.
Right, exactly. And this is the empowering part, because we were all told these myths, all
That's
of
right.
us,
you That's
know,
right.
around the world. Raging hormones, immaturity, they're crazy.
That's right.
And listen, if you're an adolescent, and you've got six kids, so you know, the kids pick up these messages.
You bet.
And they act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So the great news about this is it's a total switch around. And, you know, there's a group that's in New York going to meet. I'm going to gather all these educators together to think, how do we take these brainstorm ideas and this essence of adolescence and actually change the school system?
Oh, for sure.
So we can support adolescents
yeah.
instead of oppressing them.
I mean, seriously, like we were even talking earlier about just the fact that when they get more sleep, the accident rates around the schools, you know, go down.
Exactly.
So I'm like, but yet we keep throwing them in school, not even worrying about what it's doing to their brain.
You know, I heard the end of the show and I thought that was great. I mean, the sleep business
yeah.
is the most underrated issue. It's so important for just speaking about the brain. It's so important for the brain because it reduces stress, it improves the immune system, it gets your insulin to be working right, so it fights diabetes and all the issues that come from being overweight. It allows you to have better memory, it allows your emotions to be more regulated, and just a little bit more sleep.
Yeah. I mean, that's sleep.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, you're a total brainer.
That's a total brainer.
Hey, exactly.
Talk to us, Dan, about some of these minds, you call them mind sites?
Yeah, mind site is a term. When I was an adolescent in medical school, you know, I dropped out of school because my teachers didn't see that their patients had feelings or had thoughts or stories and meanings in their life. And
right.
so I didn't want to become a doctor like that, so I dropped out. But when I decided to come back to that same school, I made up this term MindSight to say to myself, you know, we see the physical part of the world, the physical sight, but we also can see the mind, you know, tune
yeah.
into someone's feelings or our own and respect them, you know. So I went back with that word, and that word has turned out to be very useful in my own studies, because it turns out that people who develop MindSight, because you don't necessarily have to get it from your own family experiences,
right.
you can develop it, they do better in life. So what I thought was, why not teach the adolescent or adult reading the book MindSight skills? So from the very ground basis of what it is, it's defined. You go through these exercises to develop it. And then by the end of the book, the exercises are really, really fun because, in fact, there's a thing I did with David Rock where you have a whole thing, seven things you can do every day to keep your mind strong. One of them is get enough sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the MindSight is their ability to understand their own brain, or is it my ability to understand and see into the, not the minds of others, but to relate to another person's brain?
It's both. Well, that's why it's such a useful term, insight into yourself,
yep.
empathy for someone else, and then a term that people aren't used to called integration, which means I allow you, Matt, to be different from me. So we're differentiating.
Yeah.
But then we link with respectful communication.
What book is this in?
This is in, actually, it's in the Brainstorm book, but it's in a book called MindSight. It's in all my books.
That's in MindSight, yeah.
Yeah. And what you'll see when you see that, in terms of things people can do, is there's an essence to adolescence, and I'll just summarize.
Yeah.
I'm kind of an acronym nut, but there are four things. If you had to remember one thing from this talk we're having, it would be this word essence. And number one, emotional spark. That's the ES.
Okay.
Adolescents are more emotional. They just are than kids or adults. And when we give them space to have that emotion, they have a whole different way of relating their emotions. So instead of thinking the emotion is a sign that they're crazy,
yeah.
that there's something wrong with them, let's give them space to let their brain do what it's doing. And as it's remodeling for all sorts of reasons, it's just a more emotional brain.
That's
and
great.
That's fine. And when adolescents realize that themselves, they say, whoa, if I give space to my emotion and don't fight it, or if my parents aren't engaging me to stop feeling the way I'm feeling, I can just let this emotion arise and fall, and after 90 seconds, it pretty much brings me back to baseline. But
fight
it.
Yeah.
It can stay for days and months.
But the emotion, good. It's let it be the, it's the energy, right?
That's right. It's the passion of life.
Yeah.
So
that's what we want, right?
Yes. The next one is SE, social engagement. There's a long line of science behind this, but the bottom line take-home message is adolescents are designed to socially engage with their peers. The reason is their very survival. From long ago, when we didn't have adolescent peers, when we left the nest, we were lunch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So literally, it's inside of us to think, ah, or to feel it. I gotta
yeah.
have this shoe. I gotta have this jacket. Well, you don't have to buy the jacket or the shoe, but we as parents need to understand this feeling of life and death about being a member of a group is understandable, but we have to understand there's also a risk. And I say this to adolescents, you can give up morality in order to gain membership.
Sure. That's right.
That's called peer pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can optimize this by allowing people to find the right kinds of friends, knowing friends are important. And as parents, what we want to do is not take it personally when our adolescents push away from us.
Oh,
they're gonna
so
move
true.
Toward their peers.
Or when they choose to be more introverted, I guess, than extroverted.
Yeah, there's all sorts of
yeah.
ways you know,
mm-hmm.
that they can find their way. Then the third part of essence is N, and that's novelty, and we talked about that already. The drive for something new is from the reward system of the brain, and if you teach people to develop this internal compass, then I believe very deeply there's a very high likelihood you're going to give them a pathway to reduce risk.
Oh, I love that.
You
yeah.
know, and that's what these mindset skills are. They're an internal compass to guide you into proper behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one is just CE, so it's emotional spark, social engagement, novelty. The CE is creative explorations. Now, what creative explorations are, in every culture we've been able to study across the planet, what's happening is adolescents are pushing back on the status quo. They're pushing back on the adult world.
Yeah.
And you could say, what's that about? Is that rebellion? Is there something wrong with them? Actually, probably the way our species, humanity basically, has been so adaptive around this planet is because, listen, children soak in the world that they're learning about. Adults have worked hard to get to the special place they are
yeah.
contributing to the world they do, and we're tired. But the world is forever changing. And the part of humanity that's ready to take on things and try a new world and push things and try to create a new approach to things are adolescents. The major innovations in art, music, science, and technology
right.
is from adolescent minds primarily.
No, they're the hippies. It's those darn hippies, Stan.
Well, we can call them hippies, and we can also call them the teachers of the world.
It's the millennials. Yeah,
something.
We throw all these negative labels on them, but it's normal to adolescents, right?
It's totally
to
normal
explore.
To adolescents. If we fight it, it's going to be a problem. If we harness the power of it, what a better world we'll have. And the final thing I just want to say
yeah.
is this. When you look at this essence, and you realize we can reframe our approach as adults, and we can actually support adolescents not only at home but also at school. That's a whole new way we can approach adolescents. But
yeah.
the other thing for every adult listening should realize, if you look at the research, the scientific research, on what we as adults need in our lives to keep our brains growing well and healthy and strong throughout the lifespan,
yeah.
guess what four they would be?
Right there.
Emotional spark.
Yeah.
Social engagement keeps networks of support
yeah.
alive.
Novelty.
Do new things with novelty and challenge your mind with creative exploration.
Yeah.
Those are
your essence. That is the key to all humans.
All humans. So this is the amazing thing that blew my mind when I was writing this book and putting it together. I thought, oh my God.
You found
parents,
it.
This is actually for adults to read,
yeah.
to regain the essence of their adolescence. This is what we mean when we said earlier, you know, hold on to your essence.
Yeah.
Don't just let it fizzle away. Keep the passion alive in your life. Keep your friends close, do new things, challenge
yeah.
your mind, and you'll have a strong brain throughout your lifespan.
Oh, Dr. Dan Siegel, love it. So appreciate you being on the show. We are going to come find you again and do this again because we've learned so much from you. Everybody, go to his website, drdansiegel.com. Check out the book Brainstorm. Let's start giving some hope to our kids that they can change their brain. This is the Matt Townsend Show. We're taking a break. We'll be right back on BYU Radio.